You know what else I wish I had a videotape of? Were all the fights my sisters and I got into. There were five of us, and it seemed like somebody was always fighting with somebody. How come kids get into fights so often?
It's just part of growing up. Finding out what'll work, what won't work, how to control other people, how to get your way. And sometimes it's really to keep the parents invested and involved in you. You know, if your parents don't pay enough attention to you in a positive way, you can always get them to pay attention by having a fight.
I'm going to have to try some of those parenting techniques on my two little girls. They're fighting already, and they're just toddlers.
So they're really off to a good start.
Well, I don't know if it's a good start.
But they're highly involved, and they can solve those problems.
If you're normal parents with normal kids, the kids should fight, right? That's what kids do. Unfortunately, we often try to tell ourselves that we're not good parents because our kids fight. And I'd like to have you remember this if you don't remember anything else tonight. If we ever start to measure parents by whether or not their kids fight, there will not be one good parent on the face of the earth. They will fight. And they drive us crazy when they do it. But consultant parents have learned some rules about fighting. And the first one is that kids hardly ever fight unless it's in a safe place. Have you ever noticed your kids don't run across the street and tackle some kid they've never seen before? No, sir, I do that, I might get hurt, I might get killed, right? I'll fight with my brother in front of my parents, then I'm safe. The parents will interfere if anything goes wrong. The other thing they've learned is that the weakest of the two will usually be willing to go through all kinds of abuse at the hands of the older brother or sister if they can just watch the older one get it from the parents for 2 minutes. It's all worth it then, right? And we have never, this is rule three, we have never discovered a parent who is so smart as to be able to see and understand the first thing that happens between two kids, right? If we see it or hear it, it's been going on for a while, and we usually just hear it. Wait a minute. Are you picking on little Georgie again? What is the matter with you? Why don't you learn to like it? If you just learn to like him, you make him your friend, then and I expect you better things out of you, you know. And what do you suppose little Georgie is doing right now? He's going off and saying, look at that, I got that bugger again. Got him. Now, some people say, my kids don't fight with their fists, they fight with their mouths. It's all the worst. And I say, why? And they usually say, because if I were a better parent, they wouldn't do that. Nope. Kids need to do that to find out what works, what doesn't work, how to establish where they are. And most kids did not choose to have a younger brother or sister. If given a vote, they would vote for flush it down the toilet. We don't need it, right? We got enough already. Well, they need to work out those things, and the more they involve us, the worse it gets. Chores. Maybe of all the things that I talk about tonight, chores may be the most important. Foster and I made a complete tape just on chores and how to get them done. And people often say, why would you do that? Well, because chores are the foundation blocks for self-concept. They're the foundation blocks for achievement in school. If your kids do not have meaningful chores at home that they have to do, and if we can't get them done without a fight, your kids do not learn that they get what they need through effort. And when they go to school, learning is called effort. So chores are very important. But how do we get them done? Did anybody leave home tonight telling your kids that you want something done before you get home tonight? Who is that lucky? Anybody? High opportunity kids. You got the luckiest kids here, right? Because I'm going to challenge you to go home and let them go to bed. And about an hour after they go to sleep, we go in there in a very nice way and say, hey, Chucky, remember that job? It didn't get done. I know how hard it is to wake up. I brought you a nice cold washcloth if it'll help. Now, I don't slap him with the washcloth. I make it available, okay? Let's go get it. What we're going to find out is a kid who's been asleep for a half an hour or an hour far easier to work with than when it's wide awake, right? Yeah. Now, after he gets the chore done, I say, thank you, appreciate it, have a nice night, see you in the morning. Few words. But in the morning, he's going to have a renewed idea about whether or not we mean it when we say something. Now, that'll work unless we've got a kid about his size, right? Now, I got a kid his size, and I go up there and I say, hey, it's the end of the day and you didn't get the chore done. And he says, so? And I say, so I figured you'd do it now. And he says, so? I figure you can stick it in your ear. Now what do I do? Can I make this guy go do that? What if I get the three or four of the biggest people in here and we go do it? It's still not going to do any good. I need to remember that he cannot get so big that he does not need me. He's going to need me sometime. So I say, remember how to buy time? Did I ask you in a nice way? And you're still not going to do it? Oh, well. Look, I value my relationship with you, and I'm not going to destroy it over a lousy stack of wood. Why don't you go back to sleep? And I'll just do that myself sometime. Don't worry about it, okay? Now, it sounds like I copped out, right? You've heard me for an hour and a half. Do you think I copped out? I'm kind of a law and order person. But I'm also not into fighting with people who are bigger than I am. And I'm not into having battles and losing relationships. I'd rather have him do a lot of thinking. I bet he's doing some thinking right now. And he'll do a whole lot more thinking because he'll probably come to me on Saturday and say, Dad, can we have a driving lesson? Ooh. Sure. How long would that take? And he says, oh, hour? Bad news. I used up the hour stacking the wood for you. I'd be glad to give you a driving lesson any time when I'm not doing double duty. Don't give up on me. Check me another time, okay? Now, I think about now I ought to be moving on, don't you? He's going to have a lot of things to say. He isn't going to say, Dad, hey, you really got me thinking there, is he? But I ask you, can he make me give him a driving lesson? No more than I could make him do the chore. And I think he'll be thinking a whole lot about that. And even if I have to do the chore, I'll make it up in time later on. So he's probably given it a lot of thought. Well, we've been spending a lot of time here talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about mostly how do we get the job done without a lot of extra power? How do we get the job done without punishing? You notice I never talked about punishing tonight at all. How do we get the kids to think? Well, you notice most everything we did tonight said, give the kid an opportunity to think, an opportunity to make a mistake, an opportunity to learn from the consequences. Had a good time with you tonight. Thank you.
The audio you've just heard is one of many products offered by the Love and Logic Institute. For a complimentary catalog or to order Love and Logic products, call toll-free 1-800-338-4065. You may also order Love and Logic products online by accessing our website, www.loveandlogic.com. Jim and Charles Fay present Love and Logic seminars and personal appearances for both parents and educators in many cities each year. For more information, call 1-800-424-3630 or check our website, www.loveandlogic.com. This audio is copyrighted by Jim Fay and produced by the Love and Logic Press, Inc. No part of this product may be reproduced in any form or by any means, electronic or mechanical, including recording or by any information storage or retrieval system for any purpose.